Okay, Sabbath blessings. If you can kneel, please do so. We're going to have a quick prayer. Or a regular prayer, actually. We do quick prayers on Friday night and then the big one. So if you can bow your hearts. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with your presence on Sabbath day. Thank you for giving us all those things that we needed throughout the week to make it here again, to worship, to study, to learn, and to have to show bread changed. Thank you for forgiving us of our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness. Thank you for the trials that you sent our way to help perfect our character so that we can make it home, to glorify you, and to share your truth with others. And thank you for blessing everyone on our prayer list that we prayed for last night and those we couldn't because of so many. We also lift up Kenneth and his family, for whatever reason, he doesn't say, but they're having issues, and so we pray, Father, that you bless that family and you have your presence upon it. Keep your angels around them. And thank you again for blessing us with this technology to be able to share your truth. And because you have us so widely scattered and we see that you do that for a reason, so that when the loud cry starts, we'll be in strategic positions. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. We left off at last week, question number 26, is where we're at today. Okay, this mic what it should be. Okay. And question number 26 is, so what may we look forward? May we then look forward? Well, because earlier, the previous question was, what does the Bible call this experience? And of course, that was regarding the second death for the wicked. But to what may we look forward then? And 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 13 says, nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Now, this passage is a blessed hope of it is the blessed hope of God's people, as far as I can see. And the thing I like about it is he uses the term promise. And we know our Father can't lie or won't. And the fact that his word is literally filled with promises, and we have seen his hand move in many ways in our lives. We've seen his promises are sure and true and solid, absolute. And so we will look for new heavens and new earth. But all of us that strive unto that perfection know how much we cherish the day when we will dwell in New Jerusalem's righteous environment. No more having to deal with Satan's temptations. No more dealing with how he manipulates people all around us to try and make us slip and fall. And all that ends when we leave this world. However, if you've ever attended a funeral of a Roman Catholic who died in debauchery or even suicide, you'll actually hear the priest declare that the dead loved one is headed for heaven. Even the Protestant churches do this at funerals, because I've been at quite a few funerals over the years. They forfeit the chance to try and reach the people attending the funeral to let them know they too can be laying in that casket, unready to die, as their loved one just did. Yeah, that's not an easy sermon to preach. And no matter how much you filter your words with love and try to reach the people there, you're going to have to deal with some very angry people at their funeral. I know. I saw this happen firsthand when I tried to warn the family of a man that lived and then died in drunkenness of the dangers of such a life. One of his sons threatened my life from behind back of the church, because I didn't want to pray him into heaven. Because I says, I don't know where he's going. You know, a few months prior, one of my sons and I, went over to his house and laid hands on him. A debauchery is all sorts of, by the way, question is, what's debauchery? And debauchery is like all sorts of disgusting, everything from drunkenness to, you know, promiscuity, all sorts of sinful fleshly things. But, you know, this is one of the first times we saw outside the family someone being healed by laying on of hands. And this man was slated to die that night. And his family knew me because I wasn't in full-time ministry yet, and I had been doing some remodeling work for them and some of their neighbors, because I was hired by this one place that had these apartment complexes. And he was, you know, alcoholic. He was in bad shape. His liver had shut down, his kidney shut down, all of it. And he was lying there in his bed, ready to die, breathing really strange the whole 9 yards. He thought that was it. We went in there, we laid hands on him, and we asked the family, you know, to pray the prayer of faith, and anybody here that has any doubt whatsoever, just leave. Now, not that I asked them to leave, I just said, those of you that have faith, let's go in a room. And we did, and we laid hands on him, and the next morning he was up. Everything was great for months, and all of a sudden he went back to his bottle and was dead within a week. And so they asked me to do the funeral. I says, boy, you, both sides of the spectrum here, this wasn't easy. So, I mean, the word of God is plain. It says in 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 and 11, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, that's homosexuals, by the way, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I mean, how could it be heaven if they're there anyway? We'll have to deal with this if we're in there. And anyway, it goes on in Corinthians. It says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So would it really be heaven? I mean, if all those that loved sin and were allowed to bring their sinful ways into heaven, no, we... Like I said, you know, we're going to have to deal with all the evilness all over again, but only this time we'll have to deal with it for all eternity. Revelation 21:27 clearly says, there shall in no wise enter into it, the city, you know, New Jerusalem, anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie. Yeah, and even little lies, by the way. God doesn't much care for that. I mean, that is one of the first things I noticed when I became a Christian that I had a real hard time with. Because before I was a Christian, I was real good at lying. After that, I read in the scriptures where lies began. It was the very first sin. Satan used it to get all, you know, a third of the angels to fall, and he got it to get Adam, he used it to get Adam and Eve to fall. So I always had a problem with lies, and I can understand why my father has a problem with this. So, anyone that maketh a lie ain't going to go to heaven, of course, and it goes on. But they which are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So, no way getting around that blunt statement. Not even the most eloquent preacher standing beside the grave of a Christless soul can change that statement of truth because it was penned by a mighty God. So they can, you know, come up with all sorts of theology and all sorts of reasoning as to why this mafia hitman laying in a casket is headed for heaven because he gave all sorts of money to the church. Now, it ain't going to happen. They just, they're trying to sanction some guy out in Italy from what I last heard. It was a mafia monster. But because he gave millions and millions of dollars to the church, see, these guys think they can buy their way to heaven, but, you know. So, you see, that's the problem with today's churches in the world. They actually think they can read the Bible the way they want, and they can walk in sin as much as they want, and they actually think that simply claiming to be Christians is all that God requires of them. You know, it's, you know, read Isaiah 4, verse 1. He described today's world in that one verse. The word obedience doesn't factor into such a heart as this. The fact all the churches claim the law was abolished at the cross proves this is how they live today. Yet it is plainly written that only those that claim Christ Lord, who have his righteousness upon them, will be allowed in that city. So I say amen to that because to me, that defines heaven perfectly. All right, question number 27 says, who will inherit the earth made new? And Psalm 37:11 says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Now, this is one of the verses the Lord used to convict me of my anger problem many years ago. If I'm an angry man or one that thrives on confrontation with so much without so much as bending in my demands upon those around me, then I am in no way a meek soul. Still, I was unable to see the light at the end of the tunnel. I was desperately trying to control my anger. But I often failed on a regular basis, as many of you that got anger problems know all too well about. But then one day the Lord allowed me to see what I was doing from a third-person point of view. You know, like I've shared this before. You know, like many years ago, I used to program videos, you know, and images in a way that would morph them from one image to another for wedding videos that me and a partner were doing many years ago. I was a Sunday keeper at the time. I was still, you know, exposing Antichrist and all that other stuff, but I didn't understand what the mark was or anything like that yet. And I had some new equipment to make the work much more efficient, but I didn't have enough videotape to test the system adequately. So I asked my oldest son to fill a two-hour tape, and yeah, that's VCR tape in the old days, okay, a two-hour tape for me with whatever he wanted. So he went around the house and videotaped the family for 2 hours. And, you know, what you get, you get a bunch of little kids jumping up and down in front of the camera lines. But it was fun to watch. I mean, we still watch that to this day. I think Lee loves to watch those. So during that time, I misplaced the tool I needed building the system, a screwdriver or pliers or something. And I was very upset and thought one of my children or my wife misplaced it. And I'm not going to blame my upbringing and stuff like that. I mean, I was brought up in a very angry family, but still, that's no excuse. It's hard to get away from stuff like that, though. So anyway, later, when I was viewing the tape to import the video into the system to test this stuff out, I saw myself yelling at my kids, yelling at my wife for something I actually lost because I, you know, found it. And I realized it was my own fault, but I never told them because it was embarrassing. I just blamed everybody in the family for something I did. I literally wept for quite a while when I saw that. And praise the Lord, I, you know, at that time, because, you know, Mr. Macho didn't want to, you know, cry in front of anybody. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I used to stay up really, really late and saw everybody snoring and sleeping. They didn't know I was crying. So it was then that this passage hit me like a ton of gold bricks right from the street. You know, the city of, you know, the streets of the city. I was not a I was not a meek man at all. It humbled me, yeah, in a big way. I was a very angry man. I still get sad in my heart when I think of that day and how I treated them. Reason being is this is who I was and how I treated them for years. I loved them all. Like I can't even describe how much I loved them, but still I did these things. I praise the Lord for his word and the way he opens it up to his people. And yes, at times we are so boneheaded we don't understand as we should, but our Father loves us so much that he knows the best way to shake us up and wake us up. So again, I praise his name for this passage because I know now that if I was in heaven and a man came up to me with the anger I used to have, I would not consider that heaven at all. I'd say, what are you doing here? Or worse yet, what am I doing here? Because this can't be heaven if you're in here. So there is a reason only the meek inherit eternal life. Jesus has a meek spirit, and seeing how it is Christ's righteousness that dwells within us, we too will be meek. So, question number 28. Let me scroll up a little bit here. Oh, wow, we're almost done with this one. When will they inherit the earth made new? Of course. And Psalm 37:34 says, wait on the Lord and keep his way, and he shall exalt thee to inherit the land. When the wicked are cut off, thou shalt see it. In other words, after they are all burned up, as it says in Isaiah 65:17, for behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered nor come into mind. Now, this is one of the reasons I don't like to travel and go see the sights, and I'm thinking, why? I don't know why. It's just the way I am. But okay, fine, the Grand Canyon would be a nice thing to look at, maybe. But again, why? Or a mountain. Because I, like when I went to California three times, I saw the mountains. And I saw the ocean. I go, whoop-de-doo. Because I know when this is all made new again, it's not going to be here. There ain't going to be any oceans. There ain't going to be any mountains with the snow caps on top of them. They're going to be, you know, like the hills of Kentucky. Rolling hills with the trees on top. And there certainly ain't going to be no big hole like the Grand Canyon. All this, what we see on our planet today, is the end result of sin. If I'm going to travel, I think the only place I'd want to go is where Sister White said that the most similar place on planet Earth would be Hawaii. But now that the Fukushima radioactive wave that's going to hit the United States of America by 2013 or the end of this year, and kind of like mess with the crops and cause famine and, you know, well, prophecy. But it hit Hawaii this week. So, yeah, amen. Amen to that. The only sight I want to see, amen, sister, is Jesus. That's all I need to see. And because okay, granted, it's a beautiful thing to see the Grand Canyon and all this other stuff, but I'm thinking, but it's the only reason it's here is because of what happened in Noah's day. It's because of the flood. Why do I want to look at that? I know what happened. It's just like I don't even need to look at the scars on my Savior's hands, you know, or look at the, I don't have a cross in my church if I had a building, you know, because I don't need to be reminded. I know what he did for me. As soon as our King, Jesus, does this, that Isaiah spoke of, you know, and Psalm spoke of, it says in Malachi chapter 4, verse 3, that we step out of the city. This is at the end of the 1,000 years, of course. And we tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in that day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. So this sounds like the exact opposite of what all the false preachers and all the false teachers are teaching today, doesn't it? But then they are doing as their God, the Father of lies, commands. So be it. We will do as our God commands. The Father of truth commands for all eternity. So, anyway, question number 29. It is, what will be no more? Revelation 21, verses 4 and 5. And it says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now this passage has blessed my heart many times as well over the last 3 decades. Reason being is, I weep often for those I love who are walking in ways that are very dangerous for them and their children. Yeah, to this day, I found myself in turmoil, not only for them, but those I share this truth with on the street or online. And then I read this passage, and I am at rest in my heart, knowing that my Father is absolutely one I can take at his word. And I cannot count all the times in my life that his hand has been made known unto me. I cannot count all the times in my life that his promises in the word have been confirmed for me. And I cannot count all the times in my life that his word and his law has been proven perfect unto me. So knowing all that, I know for certain that these tears that I cry on a regular basis will be wiped away. And he will make all things new, so that all things of the past will indeed pass away for all eternity. But I'm still, you know, a little concerned, you know, and I'm not going to second guess my Father, of course. It's just not the case what I'm talking about here. And I'm just wondering, since these tears are wiped away at the end of 1,000 years, we're still going to have some inkling of sadness during those times. But then again, that's a no-brainer, because we're going to be doing the work of the judgment. And we're going to have to be reading certain things, and we're going to be seeing, you know, possibly loved ones that, why aren't they here? And it's not that we're going to be considering our God a lesser God because they're not here. It'll vindicate him, letting us know that, look, I tried everything I could to make sure your loved one was going to be here. And so as we go through the books of the judgment, we see, I mean, look at the atheists today. I mean, one of the reasons the atheists hate Christians is because the Lord loves them so much that they seem to get a lot of Christians coming up to them because he's trying to wake them up and shake them up, you know, or shake them up and wake them up. So anyway, the notes go on here in question number 29 to quote two more passages in Revelation that say, Revelation 21:3, and it says, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. And then Revelation 22:4 says, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. You know, and I've always wondered about that too, because as I was growing up, I says, wow, you know, you look at a human face and I says, well, hey, you got two eyes that kind of like break up the monotony there. You got cheekbones that kind of move it around here. You got this nose, you got the lips and the teeth, even when you open the mouth, you got the chin and you got even the ears off in the side you can see, but boy, you got that boring blank space right above your eyebrows. There should be something there. And sure enough, his name will be there. And then, of course, we also understand the symbolic end of that, too. Because the mark of the beast ain't going to be on the forehead. It's in the forehead. That's where we make the decisions. And so, anyway, she goes on. We got to go on to number 30 here, Heather. All right. But anyway, truth is truth. He has declared it to our hearts, and our hearts have been blessed by it. So, therefore, all that can be said in response to these verses regarding, question 29 is amen. So question number 30, and it's, what does it say? What will the redeemed do in the new earth? Boy, I tell you, if I could, every week I would just preach about heaven. That heaven page I made, that was a personal Bible study that I was just like on pins and needles. Good pins and needles, like, you know, some people call it the Holy Ghost bumps kind of a thing. You know, it says, wow, it's exciting reading this in the scriptures about what we're going to be doing up there, but we're going to get some of an inkling here. But so what will the redeemed be doing in the new earth? And it's Isaiah chapter 65, verses 21 and 22. And it says, and they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. In other words, it's not going to be a 9-to-5 here. We're not building houses so that other people can live in them. No, this is our own enjoyment, you know, for our own pastime. And it says, they shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. In the days of a tree, if it wasn't for the degraded atmosphere, post-flood, of course, the trees would live a lot longer than they do. And trees live pretty long, hundreds and hundreds of years. You know, an oak can live. And look at the sequoias and the redwoods. Isn't the redwoods that, if it wasn't for the flood, they would have been 6,000 years old? Because from what I understand, the redwoods can have some that were, you know, grown at that time are still on the planet since that day. And then they got that one tree in Israel that's supposed to be as old as post-flood. It's a mess. It's just a huge, kind of weird shape, bumpy looking, kind of like a hedge tree when it gets a little whacked out of shape. We got these hedge trees in the back, and they go in these all these weird different directions. One of them looks like a snake coming into the ground, coming out of the ground, going in the ground. It fell down, and it just kind of like two big lumps. It really looks neat. So, I think this is amazing. I mean, with what Isaiah says here, I mean, some that are new to the truth have never heard these passages before. All of us know about the mansions our Lord, of course, is building for us in the city itself. We all know about that. But it is rare in today's world for people claiming Christ as Lord to know about some of the things that we're going to be doing in heaven, like this passage where it says we will literally be building houses and no one else will inhabit them. And as I intimated earlier, I do have a page on the website that outlines many passages that speak of what we're going to be doing in heaven. And if you're new to the truth, you need to check that study out as soon as possible. It will definitely bless your heart. I mean, there's some stuff in there that, the Bible doesn't tell it all, because eye is not seen, ear is not heard, neither is it contemplated into the hearts of men what God's got in store for those who love him. So it's not all there. The Bible doesn't tell us everything about what we're going to be doing in heaven. It's just like with the parables, you know. It's a need-to-know kind of a thing. Or, I'm sorry, some of the meaty scripture, and especially in regards to how the wicked are. If the wicked knew what we knew or know, then they would be able to do a little bit more deceptive using scripture to lure us away from Christ, if it were possible, because we know what the word says about the elect. So I know this coming across people on the street in regards to when they try to decipher a certain scripture, like even prophetic symbolism, for example. I know what 2 Peter 1:20 says, that no prophecy of the scriptures of any private interpretation, but you got people coming up from, you know, out of the woodwork trying to tell you, one guy was saying once, many years ago, it was on an online chat room, saying that oil was necessary for the tree to be to feed the ants, to climb the tree, to go up the tree, and then germinate some of the ants. Yeah, oh, where did you get this? I said, well, that's just common sense. I says, well, have you ever read 2 Peter 1:20? Oil is a prophetic symbol for the Holy Spirit. You can't assume that that's what you learned in some class in high school or something. I mean, it's just... So that's one of the neat things about our Father's Word. People can see, but they can't decipher what they're looking at. People can hear, but they can't contemplate. So, but in that study, you're not only going to discover what Isaiah just said here, there's also going to be children growing up in heaven and God actually singing to us. I mean, it's just amazing what's going to be happening in heaven. Let's see, we got 5 minutes left. I think we can do one or two more. Yeah, let's finish it, yeah. Yeah, because there's only two left. So I'll just try to be quick about it. Okay, 31. How peaceful will the new world be? And Isaiah 65:25 says, and I'm going to read the whole verse, not just the last part of it. It says, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. Whoa, you know, those evolutionists are going, are you kidding me? Really? You don't get that? And because they look at the teeth of the lion. And... I says, how is that possible? I says, well, have you seen the teeth of a Tyrannosaurus rex? Oh, yeah, that was a meat eater. Really? They have found teeth of a Tyrannosaurus rex because everybody knows they're all over the planet. They've cut them in half and found them all the way to the core, gorged with chlorophyll. You don't get chlorophyll inside your teeth that deep from eating animals that have chlorophyll for their diet. You have to be eating plants to get it in there. So the perfect... scenario of, I mean, even mankind, there ain't going to be any killing up there, you know. So, but man right now, finishing going on, it says, like the bullock, or, you know, eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. Like right now, mankind cannot walk in the woods of his own land without seeing all the animals and birds running for cover. I mean, I do it all the time, you know, every day. And at the same time, man can't swim in shark-infested waters and feel perfectly safe either. But in our Father's kingdom, we will live as Adam and Eve did in the garden. No fear on either side of the spectrum. Animals won't fear us because of the Lord's perfect peace. And mankind won't fear the animals either because of the Lord's perfect peace. Perfect harmony will abound in our Father's house and all throughout the universe because all that caused death and violence is in fact, death, it's all dead itself, which leads us to the last question in the lesson. Will sin be gone forever? Nahum chapter 1, verse 9. And it says, what do ye imagine against the Lord? He will make an utter end. Affliction shall not rise up a second time. In other words, sin won't rear its ugly head again. So many are unaware of this verse, especially those that believe Satan rules in hell for all eternity. Luciferians believe this. They know they're going to go to heaven, but they think that they can actually be in hell and help Satan stick pitchforks in people that didn't get to heaven. You know, some of them no doubt believe he will eventually figure out a way to circumvent God's judgment upon him, and he will be able to enter the city to share his lies all over again throughout eternity. In other words, the Luciferians no doubt believe that, okay, there might be a little bit of fire to deal with for a few trillion years, but eventually, this guy's wise, he'll figure it out and be able to take the city. But the previous verses we looked into prove that he's going to die. And with him dies all temptation, all lies, everything. Because Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 44, that Satan was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Since lies are his doing, and he is the father of lies, then when he dies, so do all his lies, along with those that love to maketh a lie. For it is also written in Revelation 22, verses 14 and 15, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. For without our dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters and whosoever loveth and maketh a lie. And this is the one verse I love to use on the street a lot, too, because people say the Ten Commandments are only for the Jews and the Jews alone. And I gotta ask us, is if that's the case, then please explain Revelation 22:14. Because what they're saying is only Jews get to heaven. Because only the Jews keep the Ten Commandments, according to them. And even the Jews don't keep it either. They're keeping Sunday holy now. They've already made an agreement with the Vatican that they will bow to that authority and agree to keep Sunday holy. And a lot of people thought that was going to be something that the devil was going to have a hard time circumventing, and there was no way he's going to be able to figure that one out. And so Sunday laws is really just a joke. It's not real. Really? Well, we've already got documented evidence now that the Jews not only agree to keep Sunday holy, they have also agreed to, what was the other thing? Oh, they gave the dome, the place of David's burial. It's been given to the Vatican. It's now under the sovereign authority of the Vatican. And the Dome of the Rock. The Wailing Wall. The Vatican now owns the Wailing Wall. And so, people, you know, prophecy is sure. You may think it's impossible, and for all intents and purposes, it looks impossible because of the way the world is today. It's just impossible. There's no way the Jews are going to go and do Sunday laws, but or Sunday Sabbath. There's no way they're going to give up the Wailing Wall or David's tomb. None of that's just not going to happen. It's impossible. Well, they said in 1970 that there's no way that Roe v. Wade was going to be able to push forward law to be able to make it legal for girls to kill their babies. And now, how many millions of kids have died? And now they're pushing for laws to be able to kill the baby once it's born. If the parents look at it and say, okay, a breathing, healthy baby, we don't want it. It's legal to kill it because by the state law, it's not considered a person. And people are saying, oh, that's impossible. That will never happen. Well, I'm sure they said that back in 1970 as well. Hope and pray you were blessed. Be back in a minute.